Hi, my name is Irina Kremень, and I want to welcome you to another episode of the Blue Beauty series, hosted by Jeannie Jarnot, the founder and CEO of Beauty Heroes. In this podcast series, we interview a beauty and wellness brand's founders, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders to talk about the future of beauty and how to build businesses that leave our planet better and bluer. From zero waste packaging to regenerative practices, you will discover why materials matter, how to make philanthropy the foundation of a profitable business model, and which innovative brands are leading the blue beauty revolution.
I work with Ava and Earthwise Beauty and Pacific Northwest Essences. I wouldn't have made it through 2020 without flower essences, the flower essences that she makes. She made a custom blend for me. And we launched Earthwise and Pacific Northwest Essences at Beauty Heroes. And they're really, you know, totally different. One's skincare, one is sort of the subtle energy work of flower essences that's really special and not well understood. And I think the reason I was so excited for this session today is because I think that Ava understands plants and nature in, and I see she's joining. So I see she's coming.
Amazing.
Perfect timing. I'm introducing her. I think she understands plants and nature in a really unique way. I think she's incredibly intuitive and connected to nature in a way that inspires her formulas. And like I said, she's created a custom flower essence blend for me. I've talked to her a lot about, you know, formulation and have really enjoyed using her products. If you've never touched Earthwise products, they truly are different than anything else out there, anything else that we carry at Beauty Heroes. It's impossible to, I feel like, you know, it's a brand that's impossible to imitate. There's truly nothing out there like it. And we are really going to talk today's conversation with Ava. Ava, if you can hear me,
I can hear you. I hope you can.
You just need to put your camera on so we can see you. And let's see. I see that you're there.
I think it's coming. Sometimes it takes a few minutes.
Turn your camera on. So I think if you use her products, you will feel this this unique connection. But I'm excited to talk to her about sort of her thoughts around the environment and how she thinks about it and how she approaches you know, this concept of blue beauty and creating products that actually make a positive impact on, you know, on us as consumers and also on the environment. So good morning, Ava.
Good morning.
It's so great to be here. I was tap dancing and introducing you. So you arrived just on time as it was meant to be.
Thank you. I hope you can hear me well.
Yeah, we can hear you well. And you join us from Washington State.
Washington State, yes. Spokane, Washington.
Yes. Great. And I'm in Northern California. So thanks to everybody who joined live. So I want to just start into, you know, how do you describe Earthwise Beauty and then separately Pacific Northwest Essences in your own words? I've never asked you that, but I want to hear how you talk about what you've created.
Well, you know, it has evolved over the years, but maybe I'll speak about how I see it now. So, you know, it evolved based on maybe what it seemed needed, it seemed wanted. Based on so much communicating and feedback, ongoing feedback from our customers, from our fans. So it's evolving, but there are certain core principles, and the core principles is the artisanal background and the herbal background. So I just think that no matter how many new brands are born and created in so many different ways, we still seem to be making something that is wanted and hopefully different. So I've always wanted them. So there has always been this strong emphasis on high quality ingredients. And it was years ago before I started Earthwise. I remember, I believe Whole Foods was started around that time. And I remember I had this insight, wow, I would like to be a purveyor. Like I would really love a job of being a purveyor in some category like wine or cheese or chocolate, and to go really deep with it, to work with someone who really wants me to source the best olive oils in the world. So this is something that is this maybe geeky part of me. I just really enjoy finding the best in a particular category, whether it's a rosehip oil or Sacha Inchi oil. So that's definitely a strong component of what we do, because over the years of testing others' products and testing so many ingredients every year, the quality makes the biggest impact. There are ingredients lists that look extremely comparable, and the products are distinctly different in effectiveness and vibrations because of the processing and how all the ingredients are. So that's definitely a key component. And in fact, there is the branch of our products that are the simple products with few ingredients, where the ingredients can truly shine, like the Rosa Rosehip oil or the Cis Mist. Yeah. And customers appreciate them very much, even though theoretically they could think, oh, based on the ingredients list, let me hop online and find another simple product, maybe from a maker. But they're coming back. They always come back. So they appreciate our choice. So yeah. That's definitely one backbone, I guess, one pillar of Earthwise Beauty.
Quality, highest quality ingredients. I mean, that's, you know, such a, you know, that's true of, like, I think of food. I love food, right? And it's like the ingredients, really, the quality of the ingredients is so foundational to how it turns out, you know? But there's so much more to Earthwise than the quality of the ingredients. I think that's really important. But still, there's a lot. I think there's a lot more to it.
Well, there's a lot more. Oh, well, I hope. I mean, there's this other side of me that is this this ongoing study in perfumery, artisanal perfumery. So even though I can't call anything we make a perfume, I'm always inching toward it because perfume ingredients are just so fascinating. And the people in the perfume world are just such interesting people. So again, that's another part to it. And then there's another part to it of working with herbs that we grow and we know well. That's definitely a big part of it. And that has been there for a very long time. We are just getting ready for our spring planting, and it's a bigger and bigger venture every year. But that's definitely, so I could talk about this for hours, but the bottom line is if you grow your ingredients and you see how much water it takes over the course of the season and how the plants like this soil or that soil and they don't thrive, if you make a mistake here and there, then you really, at the end, at the harvest time, you really begin to understand how many human hours it takes and how many factors are in play. And you appreciate the outcome so much more. And then you just can feel, there's something about the slowness and steadiness of the growing of the herbs that is so enriching to all of us and makes our work much more meaningful.
Yeah. So what percentage of your ingredients are you currently growing?
We're trying to grow as much as we can. So percentage is hard to tell because there are hydrosols that we are not making at this point. But any herbs that we process, we grow, I think, probably 90% of the herbs. So whether they are roots or leaves or flowers, and if they, we use primarily Western herbs, so they all grow quite well here. And we have decided, and several of the herbs for the teas we grow as well. The only ones that we don't grow is they wouldn't grow here, like tea or hibiscus.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like, you know, one of my questions for you was kind of, how do you view the skincare, green beauty skincare industry now? And do you, like, you're a farmer and a formulator and, you know, in some ways, in your own way, a perfumer. How do you feel about the space as it is? And do you feel a part of it? Because I feel like Earthwise, I feel like, you know, a lot of the founders I work with, not a lot of them, a handful of the founders I work with, I think they feel like not totally connected to what's going on in the bigger sort of beauty space, you know?
Yeah, I would say it's probably the same. At some point, I feel like we ended up on the fringes and we're kind of happy there. I just think that at some point, the movement just was influenced by some factors that I think caused us artisans to be confused. It seems that there are some forces, marketing forces, and they come across as so loud when they come from many directions. People keep seeing the same messages in their feed. So, I mean, who knows how these trends are born, but there has been so much discussion in green beauty, or actually in clean beauty, I suppose, right? Clean beauty over the negative messaging. And I keep laughing or feeling puzzled because I don't exactly know what they are talking about. I guess I don't follow those accounts, right? What are they talking about? To me, so straightforward. You know, I have eaten organic food from the day I learned what organic was. And I'm not saying it's easy. And there are times when it's very expensive, depending where you live. But I've always made so much effort in this direction. To me, it's a no-brainer. So that's the same has always been with our ingredient choices. I have always chosen, you know, organically grown.
Right.
So I would say, yeah, we are kind of on the fringes, but I just think you have to know who you are and broadcast that.
Yeah. So speaking of that, you know, I think broadcasting that. So one of the ways that I feel about Earthwise Beauty is that by using the products and actually like somebody new that comes to the brand and tries the either Earthwise, let's stay with Earthwise for a minute. You start using the products, you see results, right? You see results with the products. You have an experience with them that's different and unique. Like it's truly a unique brand. And you feel sort of really close to nature because these products really feel like they were, you know, made by an artisan.
I'm glad.
And so I feel like it changes sort of the way that you see products. I mean, it's one of those like aha brand, you know, aha moments when you use these, you're like, I didn't know beauty could actually be like this. I can feel that for a lot of our customers. I didn't actually know skincare could be like this, could feel like this. It's, you know, there's so much, you know, if you're growing up like in a regular life, right? There's a lot of conventional products. So I feel like it's kind of this perception shift, you know, can be a perception shift for people. And I think that the, you know, what you do, like even, you know, if you go to your website and you read about the ingredients and the process and how you thought about this, the formula, I mean, you put a lot of information on the site. It's very, even though it's, written there very clearly. It's hard to market, you know? So I'm curious to know, like, how do you, communicate what you are, you know, what the brand delivers, and how do you bring new people to, because I mean, you know, so much about beauty is like really is marketing, you know? And so this is sort of the, you know, there, it's hard to communicate this. I know because we're working together, and, you know, to really explain some of this takes, you need a lot of attention of the client.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's evolving. We try different things as we go, right? We try different things. In fact, I would say marketing maybe is a weaker link for us because we're so busy doing and making. I mean, there's just so much I don't photograph because it's not photogenic, but it would be, I think, powerful if we found a way to convey it to people. For example, some of the, every time I bring a box of jars to my production staff to remove glue from stickers, I think, wow, nobody's doing it. Nobody is doing it. We are the only company, as far as I know. Of course, there might be, and I would be pleased to know if they are, but the bottom line is, as soon as oils arrive, we transfer them into glass. I can't stand having them sit in plastic. I feel this plastic is going to leach no matter whether I will test it or not. I don't feel good about my ingredients sitting in plastic. So there is this tremendous effort that my staff has to put in, and the hours we pay for that they transfer. Tiny little sample comes from a lab, but I know I need a year to test it. So I need it in glass. So they transfer and transfer and transfer the little numbers with the batch number, and they found ways of transferring the stickers, making them wet and transferring them. So there's this transferring happening a lot here, because things, even though they are natural ingredients, they ship in plastic a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So I would say we are so busy doing, which is rewarding, that the truth is, I feel we're not marketing enough. We keep searching for voices that help us. So we are always finding new, wonderful voices who get it. But, you know, as one step at a time, right now we are going to set up our new space and have a whole building for ourselves. And then this year is also for setting up a much larger farm. And then, you know, one step at a time, then let's see what happens. Maybe from next year, we will find a way to have conferences, to have, hopefully people can travel again, right? I think that Laurel has done it a few times, and I thought it was just so beautiful and so impressive when she made the meetings of like-minded people. So, I mean, I'm getting shivers when I think about it now, because I just think it's such a beautiful idea if you can pull it off, the organizing of it, the accommodating everyone's, where is everybody going to sleep? I just think it's so beautiful because then there's so many more people who tried it on themselves, who smelled it in person, who have the background to add what they just experienced to their background and pass it on to others.
Yeah.
Hand selling. I guess it's hand selling kind of business.
Yeah. Well, I think there's such a interesting sustainable approach to actually building a brand that way. You know, you're doing and just doing what is, you know, the demand is, rather than trying to create demand, you know. I would love to hear a little bit about how customers have, how you've heard customers sort of lives and perceptions changed by interfacing with your brand, with your products?
Well, we get wonderful emails and feedback here and there. And I think that the one type of comments that we receive is that they feel like something they never hoped to find, they found. And then this other type of comment that we get that's so beautiful is that they feel that the by trying the products and then learning about the teas and learning about the essences, they feel kind of taken care of in such a broad way. So that has been very rewarding too, because when people email us, I mean, just so many people email us, they are, people email us with a heartache. They have struggled so much sometimes over this skin condition or that condition that has been so stubborn. And to help them address it on more than one level so that the shift would occur faster is more rewarding.
And I think one of the ways in terms of creating a brand that's making a positive impact on the environment, I think the farming of your own ingredients is such a incredible initiative and a huge undertaking. It sounds like you're growing that. How do you really see Earthwise in total, you know, just all the different ways that you work to make a positive impact on the environment? I feel like that's where Green Beauty really started. Is it started with founders who, like, it wasn't a question, it wasn't a marketing goal, it was a way of living and a way of existing and a way of seeing seeing the world and making products in this way because that's who they were at their core, not because, you know, and very early on, you know, you could sort of see that and feel that there were problems coming that we're all starting to really grapple with now and are very obvious. But I think a lot of people felt this coming a long time ago and intuitively just said, hey, I'm going to create something that is better for the planet, that, you know, finds ways to make a positive impact on the environment. So can you speak to that sort of from the beginning and like how you see it and what you see for the future?
There seem to be a few topics that I'm trying to tackle. And again, I think I feel we are not communicating enough. There's so much educating that I would like to find a way to do. I see the farming and the biodynamic farming and organic farming of ingredients needs to keep growing. We actually now have pretty good connections with beautiful farms around the country, and there are certain ingredients we supplement, right, from beautiful farms. However, I think it's essential for us to keep growing because, first of all, even more employees get it, become so vested, become healed, and then this spills further. But I also have heard notions out there online. People who have never farmed saying this is not sustainable, and I am like, what are they talking about? Sustainable. So this is another topic that I hope to talk more on Instagram about. But the word sustainable, traditionally, I think we all use it in a particular meaning. We use it in a meaning sustainable, meaning helping the environment, working with the environment, working with the ecosystems. And what I have suddenly realized that speaker was using the word sustainable in a very different way. The speaker was using it, it's not sustainable for me. Do you understand? It's not sustainable for me to make enough money.
Mm-hmm.
So I was appalled when I understood what this person meant, because sustainable is not used in that way in our culture. It has acquired a meaning that is strongly connected to the environment. For other people who feel strongly about preserving the environment, that's the only meaning. So I really get upset when I hear companies saying herbs are not sustainable. I need my lab ingredients. People can become confused. Some people who don't listen attentively or don't have background in environmental science may misunderstand. They believe the authority. They believe the authority is saying herbs are just not a crop that can be worked on in peace with the earth. But it's not true. There are commercial farms in Eastern Europe. They have been, and in Egypt, they are quite large. There are commercial farms in Madagascar that are helping the people make a living, and they are not destructive to the environment. It's possible. And in fact, when I have a book by one of the biggest herb farms in the country, organic herb farms in the country, in Vermont, and the farmer family live in an area surrounded by farmers of wheat, and they are trying to bring more of these farmers on board because he are saying, no, we are making a better living. This is a great business. You guys need to rely on government subsidies because you often have produced too much. But look at the demand there is for herbs. And they are, and the book, what's fascinating about this particular book is that it teaches people business plans. It teaches people how to make it organic in the herb business and at the same time profitable. You need to pay your employees and you need to pay yourself. So it's possible. It has been done.
Mm-hmm. What are the, besides really investing in the organic farming and sourcing organically and all of those things, what are other ways that Earthwise is striving to make a positive impact on the environment?
Well, the studio processes is one aspect that I already mentioned. It's very important to me. And then educating employees of what's possible. Again, we keep catching ourselves, myself included, that there are ideas that we picked up quickly online here, shortcuts. And then we often have to step aside, like, wait a minute, it's not always a shortcut way here at Earthwise Beauty. Sometimes it will be the slower way, but it will be made from paper and glass materials. So the studio, we don't want a purchasing manager to go quickly and order the cheapest printer paper. This person needs to be aware that sometimes I'm willing for us to spare more from the budget, but the environmental factors are very important. So we need to spend a little more time researching our postcard paper, the postcard printer's choice of paper. We need to often go deeper and ask these questions. We are not yet as successful as I would like to be in this area. It's very challenging to find eco labels. They're still, the tops of our containers are still plastic. Granted, they are high quality plastic, but still, is there something out there that we can keep our eyes peeled once the budget allows to be even more environmentally friendly? So these are areas definitely in the production and packaging that we have a few things that we are still waiting to improve. I have been communicating for a year, not myself, our employees, with a company that makes shrink bands that are biodegradable. Why is it moving so slowly? I don't know. We keep waiting for the samples and waiting for the samples and communicating and communicating. Maybe the company is small and overwhelmed, but we keep pushing and we keep looking. Shrink bands are high on my list to replace. So this is another area. And then there is this other brand that I don't even know that I have a very clear vision for, but that the one aspect that has been part of Earthwise for a while is educating people on the faraway lands that could use our support. So I continue to try to create products that are linked to a particular part of the world. And then as much as we can, we try to educate about that part of the world. Why is it special? Why it could use our funds? What's unique? And
you are giving back to different different environmental causes, right? You are giving funds back to different environmental causes.
Yes, we now support two organizations with monthly donations, and then one organization on a quarterly basis. That's for each brand. The quarterly donations happen for each brand, which is there is a code linked to a donation. So 10% of an order that was placed using that code will go to that organization of choice. So this is, maybe it sounds a little convoluted the way I try to describe it quickly, but this is described on our website. Both of the websites have section philanthropy that I hope it's explained a little more clearly. But the code is there. Everybody can go and get that code and they will get 10% off. And the organization that is a feature of that quarter will get 10%. So we try to research these organizations carefully because there are, of course, many, many, many environmental nonprofits. And we try to go to the level where we think it's going to be meaningful long-term change. So we try to invest in organizations that preserve the species and preserve the land. And we often prioritize organizations that have very strong legal stuff so that they understand the laws and they understand politics so they can negotiate with the governments more effectively.
When you were talking about, you know, sort of educating on different regions, and Jillian posted a question about the names of the products. I know a little bit about the names and how you choose the names because we've spoken about it, but can you tell us a little bit about how go to Earthwise Beauty and you read the names of the products, they're unlike anything else out there. Like, you know, it's total wild hair. you know, well, Napping the Meadow is, you know, like one of the products, and you know, Black Locust Firming Concentrate, which everybody should really try that product. It's my hero product, such a good unique sort of it's a concentrate. It truly is a concentrate. It's not an oil, it's not a serum, it's like, I don't know, some, you know, magic in a bottle for your skin. So, you know, how does that tie together? I almost feel like there's some alchemy in the names, you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it definitely will be a reflection of my interest, right, in what I'm reading. But there are parts to it that I don't know. I don't want to sound like my names are about agendas that I'm pushing. I try to have fun with them. I try to intrigue. I mean, long time ago, I wanted to be a film director, a documentary film director. And I've always been drawn to these titles. They were so good. You know, and I am a journalism major. I've always read a lot. So names are important to me. I want them to be memorable and I want them to transport people and I don't want them to be cheesy. So there's just so many parts to it. I mean, sometimes when I heard a few years ago, I was in a wilderness camp with my children and this wonderful woman was telling us a myth from Ecuador, I think. And then the character in the story was Yasuni. And I just basically, I don't know if I cried because she's such a wonderful storyteller or I cried because the story was so deep. I always cried when this woman told stories, but the word Yasuni stayed with me. So you see, then I went home and I researched it. And then I learned about this incredible national park. So what I wanted to do with the name Yasuni is I wanted more people to be intrigued and go and research. And in their lives be like, oh, there's this precious place. I've never heard about it. Ecuador is quite a small place, country, and not that many people travel there. But then we learn, oh, there's something precious and special and unique there that I am just learning about for the first time. So this is just definitely one. And then Black Locust, I mean, there's just a bigger story behind Black Locust, because I believe I first made a flower essence from the Black Locust flower. And I was just so deeply moved. Yeah.
I have it right here. Yeah, I bought this. We don't carry it at Beauty Heroes, but I bought it because I liked what that flower essence, you know, I felt like I needed that. So I've been actually taking that. I have two bottles of it, one at home and one here at my office.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so this essence touches me deeply, and I feel that it's an essence for women who feel the aging, the signs of aging, the message of aging, and they are worried and afraid. So that's definitely has influenced me. So then when I was working on this product that ended up being Black Locust, it just kind of made sense to me.
Yeah, it's funny that the Black Locust flower essence and the Black Locust firming concentrate, like Black Locust flower essence is a flower essence in Pacific Northwest essences. That's the one I have on my desk. And then the Black Locust firming concentrate is the skincare product that's at Earthwise Beauty. And that's the one I have, not to confuse the audience, because I'm not confused, but just sort of sharing that it's such an interesting, plant and product, and I'm using both of them. I've got the Black Locust in my life in both ways, in the flower essence and in the skincare. But I love that story of the Yasuni face balm. So there's a face balm called Yasuni face balm, and this story of how you found the name and the education that, you know, people should be, you know, what does Yasuni mean, and like looking it up and figuring it out or reading it on your website. I think that's so beautiful, that those personal connections to nature and to the planet. So I have, you know, we like to keep these conversations sort of, you know, bite-sized. I, as an artisan, you know, skincare formulator, founder, you know, really a person and a growing brand in this space, what advice do you have for others who want to create something that is making a positive impact on the environment?
That's a tough one, right? Well, I mean, I just think that not compromising from the beginning. Sometimes we can get locked in into a compromise. So researching slowly and giving research much more time than you would think is needed. And that's probably it. I mean, it so much depends on the budget too, right? If someone has this incredible budget for custom molds, right? For packaging. That's a budget question. But I would say, yeah, not compromise. So don't order labels too quickly. Research. What's the technology out there? What are the inks? I would say maybe slower with research. What's possible? Rather than quickly check things off the list, postcard, business cards. What could be done there from the point of view of the environment and the eco approach?
Yeah, I think that's great advice. As somebody who works with a lot of brands, I think that you are so spot on in your advice. Don't compromise. Don't take the shortcuts. People feel it, and it translates into the products and into the world. We have one question from our audience. I'll just read it because it's a really good, the way she wrote it. She said, Ava, I love Earthwise as a part of my mindful beauty ritual. In my humble opinion, your skincare is more effective and targeted than any other formulation in clean beauty that I've experienced. What is the process in which you determine which oils, butters, and extracts have a perfect symbiotic effect?
That's a good question. Well, it's testing. Testing and testing. So one thing that I have to admit is the research. I mentioned it in a recent post. The research into carrier oils, it seems to be still in infancy out there. And it would be really difficult for brands to send different carrier oils for tests. There's not enough interest, I guess, in carrier oils out there and putting them apart and what each part does. So it can be really hard for a formulator to research and decide based on the chemical constituents. I'm finding. So basically a lot of it is ordering from people who I think make the best quality. And then combining in so many different permutations. I mean, one thing that I do all the time, and my skin is often very dry because I keep testing. So I keep testing single oils a lot of the times, even single butters a lot of the time, and watching what's happening. What's happening with the dryness? What's happening with the elasticity of my skin? What's happening with the coloring? Is my moisture retention improving? So I do these ongoing tests all the time of single oils, sometimes butters, and then I do a lot of testing as I produce. So there's a testing process that I have if I have enough time, where I test once a week and then I test that product that I've just created for a week, and then I make tweaks. And if I have time to make my tests, I usually make them on Sundays. If I have time to do it every Sunday, then in 10, 12 weeks, I will have a product that's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But oftentimes then I get distracted or I test something else. So it ends up taking a year a lot of the time. But it's just repetitive testing, different tweaks. And at some point, it just becomes kind of deeper embedded in you. Oh, this is my go-to oil if I want quicker penetration. So I'm going to include it in this formula. And this is the one that I find is so protective for winter weather. So testing in different combinations. And then you get to know certain oils. Yeah. Sometimes it can be hard at first to put it into words, but through the testing, you are learning and you're keeping it within yourself.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Ava. Thank you, Clarissa. This was a really wonderful, brief insight into your world and your mind and your approach to your company. I will say Earthwise just seems to be growing and attracting naturally its customers. And, there's an incredible amount of word of mouth also for your brand. People are really, when they fall in love with it, they really want to share it with others, which is amazing.
Yeah,
it is. The best way to grow. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for the time. And yeah, I can't wait to get everyone's comments and reactions.
Yeah.
Thank you, Irina.
Yes, we will be recording it. I mean, we will have video available and we can continue conversations through the social media channel where we will be publishing it. So thank you awesome. So much. It was a very interesting story. Like every story is so different, right, Jeannie?
Yeah. I've been saying for anybody who's been tuning in or watching that, I hope that people are getting a lot out of these conversations. I feel almost selfish about doing this series because I get so much out of I've been getting so much out of it personally and feeling inspired and informed. And, you know, these conversations are meant to push our industry and widen, you know, like to expand, just to hear authentic voices about creating companies that are considering the planet truly, genuinely. And there's so many different approaches and so many different ways people come at that. But the conversations have been so enlightening, and I personally feel like I'm just really benefiting from them, and I hope others are as well.
Me too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the Blue Beauty series and to meet some of the speakers online, join Beauty Influence Network. Thanks again, and I will see you next time.